strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello everyone and welcome to our first exit interview for Big Brother Canada 9. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I'm here. I spoke with the latest, the first person evicted from the Big Brother Canada 9 house. That was, unfortunately, Julie. I had a great time talking to her. Let's find out what she has to say. Hey, Julie, how you doing?
Not great, but surviving.
Yeah.
This was a
tumultuous week. I've heard from watching the feeds last night.
Crazy! It was a huge shock. I'm so disappointed in myself, this is not the outcome that was supposed to happen.
Yeah, can you tell me a little bit about like what happened? Where you think things went wrong?
So the Team Defender, we lost. So six of us were up for eviction. And I think the easiest kind of like choice for eviction would be the first two dropped. But Josh kind of spiraled out of control because his name was being thrown out there. And he kind of scrambled. He was emotional. He started to pin everyone on each other. And he told me that LaToya was throwing my name. So I wanted to get to the bottom of it. And maybe I should have kept my mouth shut a couple times, but it was messy. It was very messy, to say the least.
Can you tell me, was it Wednesday? I think there was a series of events that occurred where, it's going to be Josh, or maybe you. And then there's an interaction with LaToya and there's a confrontation with Josh.
Yes. So Josh and I really hit it off. We were kind of like, you know, we're both from Vancouver, West Coasters, and both in the queer community. He confided me in a couple things and told me to tell other people. So here I am spreading it. And then he told me, wait, so the target was on him. And he started to scramble. So then he wanted to get the target off of him. Mm-hmm. So he started to pin other people on each other and throw people under the bus and throw my name out there. And then he told me that LaToya threw my name under the bus. So here I am like running upstairs. And I'm like, girl, guess what Josh just told me? Her reaction was not what I expected. She was pissed. Mm-hmm. She was angry. And I think that she was angry at Josh in the first place. And then me coming to her and telling her what just had happened was kind of like too much for her. And she kind of snapped and was like, I'm not dealing with this right now. We'll talk about this later.
Yeah. Well, who did you connect with in the house? Who did you feel like you had on your side? Did you feel like you were in an okay spot?
I felt like I was in an okay spot. I really connected with Brayden, with Austin, with Victoria, and with some of the boys. We kind of created like a six-person alliance, but we never really found the time to really have a group meeting. They were always so scattered. So I wasn't really relying on them too much. I had those three that was very close to me, but the whole week it was like, yeah, Josh is going out. Josh is going out. He's unstable. He's super emotional, just a mess. So the whole week we thought Josh was going home. Last minute, he flipped it around and it was Miss Julie who walked through the doors.
Do you feel like there's something that you wish you had done differently?
I wish I connected more with the people that I usually wouldn't connect with. Silly Julie just went in there and was like, oh, I like you. Let's just hang out every day. And that was kind of like my fault. So I wish I hung out with the boys more, do like a little bro thing, or even hung out with LaToya, which was kind of like the person who was the driving force of me leaving. But just something about her just drove me crazy. And I just cannot align myself with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can you tell me who do you feel like is playing the best game right now?
I feel like one of the boys is playing the best game right now. I would say Jedson. He's good looking. He's super nice, super social. I feel like that can advance him in the game far. He cleans the dishes, makes the beds. He's really, you know, making his way into people's hearts. So gotta be careful with Jed.
Yeah.
He has the boys and he has the girls. So he's almost like he has everyone wrapped around his finger.
Mm. If you had stayed in the game and you say like one HOH this week, who do you think you would have been targeting?
I would be targeting Josh and Latoya. Mm-hmm. 100%. Don't like them.
Yeah. How did you
not
feel?
A fan, not a fan.
How did you feel about the team twist? You know, you're on a team with Josh. And Latoya. So, you know, did that hurt your game?
The team twist definitely was it was the demise, right? It was horrible because coming to the house, I had an idea of what I wanted in an alliance. I wanted like strong brains and like, you know, someone I can cry on, but the teams were given to me. I didn't have any choice. I couldn't pick my own teammates. So it was definitely tough. Six people, obviously within that six, we had to come to a unanimous decision pretty much to vote one of the people out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Where do you feel like if you had to sort of guess like what you think the alliances are in the house, like where do you think the general layout of the strategic game is?
So it's very telling because you can see who hangs out with who a lot. So the older folks, I would say Tina, Tara, Kiefer, and Latoya. Those are like the four oldest people in the house. So they're always hanging out with each other. The boys are always hanging out with each other. So Josh does have a point. There might be a Pretty Boys 2.0 that we don't know about. They're always playing pool together. They're always working out together. I'm sure they're talking game all the time. So a boys, an older group, and, you know, Josh is like a lone wolf. He's always floating around, and I think that's why he stayed. He was a number for people because he wasn't in a clique. He wasn't in an alliance, whereas I was making different alliances. I was very bubbly. I was very social. I was being friends with everybody. And that made me a target.
Yeah. So how do you think that, you seemed to get into a confrontation with Josh. I don't think we've seen it. I don't know if we will see it. But can you tell me like how that went down? Like, what was it about?
I believe that was the most spiciest moment when I came for Josh right before the nominations. Everyone was sitting in the chair and I was like, okay, good. Everyone's here. Let me do my last plea. Like, let me just say one last thing to prove to people that I'm not just like a pretty face. I'm here and I'm serious. I want to play the game. I got up and I was like, Josh, you're not a trustworthy person. You're so flippy floppy. You're an emotional person. And I like shed a tear or two. I was like, I'm here to play. I'm here to play the game. And I'm a survivor. I have a lot more in me. So I hope it airs in the next episode. We'll see. But it was juicy.
Yeah.
Real juicy.
You ended up having one person vote with you. Which was Victoria. Was that surprising to you? Did you know that was coming? Did you know that everyone was voting against you?
So it was very weird because in the morning when I woke up, I felt like I was going to stay in the house. I was confident. I was showering, doing my makeup. And then I just had a weird feeling. Josh was running around like to every single room and everyone was avoiding me. So I'm like, uh-oh, like something is going on. And so I start to like panic and I'm going around. I'm like, please keep me. Like, I don't know what's going on, but Josh just came to you and I know what he's doing. So keep me. I'm here to fight. I'll keep you safe. And when we're sitting in the chair, Austin had looked at me and she was so sad. She shed a tear and she whispered and she mouthed, I love you. And at that point, it sunk in. I was like, I'm going home. The dolls could not save me. And I understood why. They couldn't go against the house first week. And I don't want to put a target on them at all if the numbers weren't there. So it was like, yes, put me on my misery. I love you. Victoria, I did get along with the last few days. We became really close. She was my number one. I was her number one. We were the ride or die. I hope she wins the show. She's amazing. Ugh, so much to say.
What do you think her chances are now, now that you're gone?
Victoria?
Yeah.
Ugh, I hate to say it, but I feel like she's a target. Mm-hmm. Because she did vote to keep me in the house. She's a wild one. She's definitely a wild one. I feel like that's why we bonded. We're such strong individuals. We're down at bitches. So if she got into a fight with someone, I would show up and be like, hey, back off. That's my girl. And she would have done the same for me. And that was shown in the votes. So she's a real one.
Yeah. All right. Last question. Do you feel like, I mean, obviously you wish you were there longer. Do you feel like you at least got to represent a little bit? Are you still like proud to have been on, or are you just like, I needed more time?
I definitely needed more airtime. I brought all these outfits. I saw some game in the back pocket. I still have a lot of in me. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm proud of myself for getting onto the show. I know thousands and thousands of people apply each year. And so I was in danger, and I knew I had to share my story now because I could be evicted, and I was evicted. So I'm glad I did. I hope that inspired a lot of people. And yeah.
Well, you were my number one draft pick, Julie. I was very...
I'm so sorry to disappoint you.
No. You didn't disappoint me. It's, look, things happen. Things happen. Especially in the first week.
Bitches couldn't handle all this beauty. They're like, girl.
Yeah, it was too much.
It's too much.
All right. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Taryn. So handsome, too.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Taryn.
Thank you. Thanks. I will talk to you guys later.
Talk soon. Bye.
Bye. That was Julie. Thank you guys so much for checking this out. I will, of course, be live every morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. And we're also live after every episode. So check out all of our Big Brother Canada 9 coverage. You can also check me out on Twitter, on Twitch and Twitter. Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Twitch is at twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Thanks again for joining us, and I will see you all next time. Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 5th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I am here today with Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
I'm doing good, Taryn. It's always a nice time to kick off the new feeds day of the new year. I'm very excited. I know there's a alliance called the Sunsetters in the house. We should be called the Sunrisers. I feel like it has a good ring to it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Rising every sun to discuss the live feeds with you guys. Our first live feed update of Big Brother Canada 9. We're here. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. We're going to update you guys on the feeds every single morning. We're going to talk about what happened yesterday on these Big Brother Canada 9 feeds. And let me tell you, it was day 6 in the house.
Oh, yeah. We're playing catch up. The first feed update of the year is fascinating always because it's equal parts, let's catch you up on everything you've not known so far, but it's also, we got to fill some gaps in because we don't even have all the information yet, especially with Canada and the frequency to which they cut the feeds. It is very hard to put all the pieces together, but it's starting to clear up and it's starting to look interesting for me.
Yes. The first update is always, it's usually less update and more detective. Let's try to figure out exactly what's happening. Because just the things themselves are just kind of, events that we don't quite understand.
Yeah, it's all about, listen, it's all about deliberation, putting the pieces together. And I think all these Among Us weeks should give us enough practice to be able to pull it off. So I feel confident in us today.
Yes. All right. Well, let's talk about what we saw last night and try to figure out what we have going on here. We'll try to make sense of this for you guys. All right. So we know that, by the way, this show is all spoilers. Live feed update. We'll be talking about everything live feeds. So if you've come here by mistake and you don't want live feeds, you're wrong. But here's your opportunity. All right. So what we know is that Austin is our new HOH. I believe how this competition worked is that it was still kind of both teams working against one another, in the sense that if somebody from, you know, if this team wins, then that team is safe. But the last person remaining in the competition or something along those lines ends up as the HOH on that team. I believe this competition came down to Austin and was it Victoria?
Beth.
Okay. Austin and Beth. And Austin ended up winning it, which means that once again this week, Team Destiny is safe and Team Defender is up for eviction, or at least available to be nominated for eviction, because Austin will be nominating two people of the remaining six players from Team Defender. Now, if you need a reminder about who's on Team Defender, who is going to be vulnerable, we have Jed, we have Latoya, we have Kiefer, we have Josh, we have Rohan, and we have Brayden. Yes, so those are the people available to be nominated. There is theoretically a world where you know, two people are nominated. They will be playing the veto this week. So there's theoretically a world where somebody on that team wins the veto, uses the veto on somebody else on their team. And there will only be, you know, like three other options for Austin to choose at that point. Things that we found out about the previous week, which just always makes us mad about what we missed, is that apparently Josh was going to be voted out for most of the week up until very recently, either the day before, close to the day of. Josh was the one that was going to be voted out, but some things occurred. Latoya was pulling people into the bathroom, I think, and convincing them that that Julie needed to go. She convinced like Tara, I believe, and she got some people on board. There was also some kind of blow up between Julie and Josh. After everything happened, after all the dust settled, Julie was the one that was leaving.
Yeah, I mean, not that anyone has been tired of hearing this, but obviously not getting early access to feeds, this is the kind of stuff you miss. It sounds like it was all fireworks yesterday, which is a bummer, because then by the end of the night, everyone's a little bit tuckered out probably. But no, yeah, it's Latoya's, you know, world, and the rest of them are just living in it based on what we've heard. The only person that was out of the loop was Victoria, and that's why Victoria did not vote that way. But everyone else did get the bathroom debrief, by the sounds of it.
Yes, Victoria also explained later in the night that she had a conversation with Julie where Julie said, hey, it's, you know, you can vote for me. Victoria was like, I thought she meant like vote to keep her.
It's like a Meta World Peace and Chuck Liddell situation.
So that's part of what happened here. Obviously, Brayden and Austin were close with Julie, at least according to what we saw in the episode. But what we're going to hear from them over the course of the night is that maybe they weren't quite as close as we thought. So the first real thing we saw on the feeds, a real bit of game talk, was between LaToya and Tina. And they seemed to be very close. They talked about trusting each other. They were talking game a decent amount here. It seems like Tina is LaToya's go-to person to talk game with. Tina is pretty active in terms of talking game. They talk about how they are working together in some kind of group. Now, we are kind of assuming that this group is perhaps called the Sunsetters, and that it consists of LaToya, Tina, Kiefer. Tashawn and or Ty. I'm still not sure what exactly we're going with. I believe Jed and Beth. So it's a group of six people that has a couple of people from the Defenders team and a couple of people from the Destiny team. It's majority Destiny right here. Or no, it's half and half. So that seems to be the majority alliance that is sort of running the house at the moment. Perhaps we're still early days here. LaToya and Tina talk about how they don't trust Beth all that much. That Beth is perhaps in their group, but they're not super trusting of Beth. LaToya saw her in a room with Brayden, Julie, and Victoria. Beth is too close with these these outsiders. Brayden, the Julie, the whole Julie crowd. It's no good. So they don't really trust Beth. They actually talk about how they trust Tara even more than Beth. Now, this is something that you'll hear in alliances all the time, and usually doesn't actually do anything when there's a dominant group. This group may be dominant, or they may just be one of those early alliances that break up. You never really know, but they seem to be doing a pretty good job so far, Puya.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's very clear whether or not they're going to be running game from here is still a lot left to be seen. But I do think that given the 13 people remaining, it seems like they've got the most cohesive unit in the fact that they've got three people from each side to keep each other safe in the event of any team winnings, right? So that works out. And then also they put a ring on it, they put a name on it. So like that kind of solidifies things. And I think that the other people do have connections, do have where they're seen. They've got their sights set on stuff, but it seems like they're operating slower, whereas this team of six is already like locked up. So yes, they can say, you know, we like Tara more than we like Beth, but right now they've also got the monopoly, by the way, we know of the alliances, in that they have the main one. So like they can look at other options and feel how they want to feel because they've got option, whereas everyone else is still trying to like, you know, feel each other out in this like speed dating that they're doing, which is not going to work out because someone else has already been cuffed. It's already too late.
Yes. So they talk about what they think is going to happen this week. They feel like Kiefer and Josh will be the nominations. Maybe Rohan will go up, but probably Kiefer and Josh. And that apparently Kiefer was talking during the competition, actively rooting against Austin, perhaps. And that makes it pretty clear that he might be the one to go up. If that happens, Josh will be the one to go home. They don't need to worry too much. They've got, you know, they've got a crew. They would want Josh to go home. If Rohan goes up, Rohan goes up. But Josh is the primary target here this week.
LaToya's very happy about this. Yeah. Sorry, you were about to say something?
For this group, this is the primary target this week.
Yeah. And LaToya's very happy that she pushed the Julie thing now, because she's like, look, if Julie wasn't gone, she wouldn't be put up now. We wouldn't be able to put Josh up. Josh would have been gone. So she's very much singing her own praises of, I made this happen for us. Look how amazing I am. LaToya's living her best life. Let's be real.
Yes.
Best life right now.
Yes. So Ty is going to join them and they discuss the nom some more. So obviously, you know, Tashan is very much involved here. They do talk about how, okay, what happens if Josh wins the veto? That would mean that Rohan would go up. And then at that point, we would have the numbers to keep Kiefer safe. And Rohan would go. And that would probably be news to Rohan, as we'll talk about, but, that seems to be the idea, the plan, thus far here for this group. LaToya mentions that if she had won the HOH, she would have put up, either Tara, Kyle, or Victoria. Those would be kind of her three. I think Victoria would be the primary there. And then, Tara and Kyle, maybe as a, the what sort of pawn situation.
Yeah. I do think that Austin winning this kind of, I don't think many people had expected it, but I think this is kind of their best case scenario coming out of it for them, which is Kiefer stays safe. And then if Josh goes, yay. And then if Josh doesn't, Ro, I'm sorry, you're collateral damage, you will go. So it is very interesting because even though there were six people open for, you know, being put up, pretty much upon on site, three of them were not available and we're not going to go up no matter how you look at it. So it really does leave Austin with a very small pool, which I can't decide if I think it's an advantage for the HOH to be given less options like this or it's a disadvantage.
I think I would say it's a disadvantage primarily just because I don't think that anybody who gets nominated is going to be like, don't worry about it. You didn't have many options. You know what I mean? They're going to be just as pissed off. But, you know, so you're just limited in terms of, you know, who you're able to put up here.
Right. Yeah. I feel like, you know, in my head, I'm like, well, there's the justification element of, hey, I had nothing else I could do. But then it might even hurt more because it's like this feels more targeted because there's literally, you know, you pick six of us and you pick me. So I can see it on both sides.
Yeah. So LaToya and Tina are going to go and talk to Kiefer and just give him the heads up that they think that he might be in a little bit of trouble here, that he is probably going to be ending up on the block this week. But don't worry, you'll be fine. Don't freak out. He's like, should I go talk to her? He was like, no. They were like, no, don't say that. Don't act like you know already. That'll freak her out. Be cool, Kiefer.
And well, audience, what do you think? Do you think Kiefer is going to be cool? He's going to be chill? I don't know about that. I think it's very interesting now in coming into the feeds and seeing how Tina and Kiefer, the two team captains at the start who had safety, have, you know, gotten sorted in the house. Because it's very clear that Tina is in the more decisive role, is in a more like I'm in charge kind of vibes and is in a good place. Whereas Kiefer is kind of like the straggler in the alliance who's like, hey, listen, you're probably going to end up being on the block a bunch, but like, just be chill. We've got you. And this is not an easy place for someone like Kiefer to be. I think when we saw his intro packages, I thought he was going to be a bit of a social butterfly. I thought he might have a little bit of social like problems, like fitting in right away. But I thought the captaincy would give him time to really like feel everything out and use the safety to get used to people. But I don't think he's been utilizing that time at all. And I think it shows.
Well, Kiefer does say that, you know, OK, well, I've got five votes at least. And you know, this is a situation where, you know, he will need six if Austin wants to break tie against him. But having five votes, is pretty good when you only need six. So, I'm assuming these votes again would be Tina, LaToya, who are talking to him now, Ty, who's just talking with them. Then Jed and Beth, I assume would be the other votes he is counting on. That's sort of where this majority group is at the moment. We also have Rohan and Kyle talking. They seem to be a bit of a duo here. And they also seem to be working with the other bros, Ty and Jed, to some degree, at least. Rohan mentions that Julie had asked him, hey, should I blow up on Josh? And he was like, yeah. His intention was to put a bigger target on Josh. They are not a fan of Josh. primarily because Josh is the one that was running around talking about Pretty Boys 2.0. And apparently they kind of think they might a little bit be involved in a Pretty Boys 2.0. And so they're kind of annoyed with that. And they would like for Josh to go this week as well. So his intention in sort of saying, yes, Julie, you should blow up on Josh, was to put a bigger target on Josh. It's still unclear to me whether this was one of the causes of the vote flipping, or if this was after the vote had already flipped and he was just trying to, you know, have Julie blow up on Josh essentially on her way out the door to help put a bigger target on Josh.
I think it's the latter, but
I think so too. But yeah.
Yeah. That's based on the reads I'm getting of all the conversation, but it's not 100% accurate, obviously. I mean, this is what Rose said he wanted to do in his bio. So I'm happy to see that he's being a little bit of an agent of chaos without being the main perpetrator. So that's great. I do think that these two, Kyle and Rose, are a solid thing. And I don't necessarily think that they have Jed and Ty's best thoughts in mind, or however I'm supposed to be phrasing that. But I don't think they're fully a four. But I think they know that because of the whispers, they don't want that to be a rumor going around. And Ro definitely seems like the type of guy, if he hears his name put out, he immediately wants it shut down and removed. So this does check out for him.
Yes. So so it seems to me, and we've got very little from this so far, but it seems to me like there is a four. They mention a four in this conversation. That like, hey, we'd be safe. And I believe Kyle was like the four of us, you know, them, Ty and Jed. But that it's not necessarily the four. It's not like a tight crew that is necessarily running things. When Ty is talking to LaToya and Tina, again, they talked about voting Rohan out over Kiefer. And I don't know if he was telling the truth in that moment, if their loyalty is more with the guys or with this, Sunsetters group, that is still unclear. But given how, Rohan and Kyle were talking about Jed and Ty and just like where people were hanging out and stuff. It seems like Ty and Jed may be more with the Sunsetters than with Rohan and Kyle, but we're not going to make the same mistake the players in the house do all the time. You have to assume that they may be a lot tighter with the other bros than you might think, right, Puya? We're not going to just be led along. We're not going to be just like, oh, Ty and Jed, you're with us. You choose. You have options, but you're choosing us. We're your people, right?
We're better than that, Taryn. You know we are. We're smarter. No, you should always, whether or not it's something solid, you should always assume that when there's a group of four bros, they're going to be fro dudes that are going to be bros. There's some kind of soft allegiances here, because ultimately what goes in the back of every bro dude's mind, if one of the bro dudes leaves, that's like breaking the suit. Now that means the bro dudes can leave. So as long as they all stay their targets ahead of me. So whether or not they've got like a name for themselves, the hunky men or whatever, I think that they're definitely to some point of their core are going to try and keep each other safe as long as they can for shield purposes.
Mm-hmm. So Rohan and Kyle are hoping for some, you know, Josh and Kiefer noms. Ideally, they did mention that they were a little bit wary of LaToya, that they weren't sure what LaToya would do if she won. And I believe Rohan said like, oh, even Jed was worried about what LaToya would do, which, you know, again, I don't know what that means, but we'll probably find out eventually. We then had them talk about Rohan has spoken with Brayden about working together, and he is thinking about approaching Brayden again about maybe solidifying something with Brayden, Austin, and Victoria, who seem to be a loose trio based on their association with Julie. So Victoria was actually good friends with Julie, probably the person who is actually closest to Julie, which is interesting that we didn't see that in the episode at all. And instead we saw this dolls thing, which was very not real, apparently. But they kind of have this bond, those three, based on their connection to Julie, even though Brayden and Austin were not nearly as close to Julie as it seems Victoria was. But Rohan is considering trying to make some kind of thing work with them, which I think would be very smart for Rohan, considering he is in some danger this week if the veto goes the wrong way.
Yeah, and honestly, we talked about the Sunsetters, the alleged six. This would be a good five place to land on for Rohan. And I think that kind of leaves a couple of, that leaves Tara in the middle and leaves Josh in the middle, which would be the targets. It really leaves Tara in the middle. So if they were able to scoop Tara up, then it's a six versus six. That gets very interesting. But I do think that Ro is at this point trying to just get enough people good with him so that he is safe. It seems like he's not like fully, I think the only person he's really committed to at this point is Kyle. And I think everyone else will be a marriage of convenience, but if you can make it work, bro, make it work, because you're going to need this. I think he realizes that he is not going to be, you know, his name's going to be coming around the block the next couple of weeks, regardless by the sounds of the house dynamic. So I think this is a very smart move by him if he was able to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, We finally get some conversation with Austin, as she's going to talk a little bit of game up in the HOH room with Brayden, who seems to be somebody that she is close to. Now, it doesn't seem like they have a super solid relationship or a super solid game relationship, but they are trying to solidify one. Obviously, they've hung out before. They were both connected to Julie. They talk a lot about how, you know, we actually weren't that close to Julie. It's not our fault that we were close to Julie and now she's a social pariah and we're not social pariahs. A lot of like self-justification for even being in the vicinity of Julie after everything. And it's like, who are you trying to convince? You're talking to each other. What are you doing? They're just trying to distance themselves from Julie, but they were the only ones in the room.
It's so funny. Every season we see this. We're like one of the first early people to leave. Anyone that was associated with them, you know, goes into just ragging on them to get in with the good graces. But like you said, they're alone, so it makes no sense. I don't know if they're trying to like convince each other, because it's very clear that Brayden's been spooked because people had been talking about Brayden maybe being in a final two with Julie, and he's getting super defensive about this. And anyone that will give him a pair of ears, he's like, no, that wasn't a thing. That's very weird that anyone was thinking that. That wasn't me. I wasn't a part of that. And then you have Austin be like, well, I thought I would have been the person out of your two. I was like the third person, so I didn't want anything to do with that. But it's very weird that they're trying to convince each other, but it kind of, to me, feels like they're testing the story out to see if it works, and then that's what they're kind of going to run with. It's like when you rehearse a joke with a friend, you're like, you know what? That hit. I'm going to say that at the party later. Like, it's kind of like that to me.
Do you do that, Booyah?
Listen, I don't mean to, but sometimes I'll make like my one roommate laugh, and I was like, you know what? The next time I'm in a group of people, that might work. I might use that. Sometimes it doesn't work because, you know, the people that are closest to you will almost laugh at anything you do without it being funny. So that might be a mistake. Don't really read into that.
All right. Well, so Brayden and Austin continue to talk. Austin mentions that she has a target, and that target is Kiefer. She wants Kiefer out. She doesn't think he likes her.
I mean, if someone was out there yelling against me in the HOH comp, I would also feel some type of way. So if Kiefer did that, which is pretty much sounding like it's what he did, I can see why she doesn't think he likes. And also she's mentioned that she doesn't feel like she gets a vibe with him when they're talking, like he's not engaging her, which can be a problem from Kiefer for sure. I'm just surprised by Kiefer with these. If you have this alliance of six and there's three of your people on the other team, would you really want to seem like you're overtly going out there and actively yelling against the other team? Because if someone on that team wins, you are no longer safe. So why are you doing this? Especially if it's not one of your three. So he must have had this confidence that like one of my three is winning. I can say whatever I want, which is just an odd choice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that the competition stuff was like a team. Like he was like rooting for his team. Right. Over the other team, but Austin took it personally. She feels like she you know, that he doesn't like, she, like you said, she feels like he doesn't engage with her enough. I mean, from what I've seen, Kiefer seems like a pretty chill guy, like maybe not the most social in the world.
Too chill.
I don't think that he has anything against Austin. I think that Austin is really reading into this a lot, but you never know for sure, I guess. But she would like to target Kiefer, and her and Brayden think that that Josh would be a great pawn to sit next to Kiefer because, you know, he is already an outcast, and that would just make it easy. And so they think that they can muster up some votes and get Kiefer out. That seems ill-advised to me, Puya.
Yeah, I would say it's ill-advised. I mean, obviously, the whole appeal of Josh was, listen, he is now a, you know, we can put him on the block if we need to. He's always going to be a target ahead of us. Let him run his mouth. That's kind of the vibe we're getting in the episodes. But then it's like, if you want that person, you can't be putting them up because they're too good of a target not to just be taken out at one point, especially if it'll come at the expense of, well, we might lose someone in our alliance. Nah, let's just get rid of Josh. So I think this is the worst choice for her if she wants Kiefer to truly go. So I don't think this is a good idea at all. And I'm not a big fan of, I'm a big fan of Austin. Okay, she has a flask with hot Cheetos in it, and I adore that. That is something I'm definitely all about. But as far as Austin's HOH style, it's very much, I don't want to talk to anybody. People can come to me, and then they can volunteer information. And it's like, you're kind of the first HOH. You're kind of like, the onus is on you to make the first move here. Like, you have the opportunity to make whatever you want happen, make a narrative that you can ride out. And I feel like she's kind of letting other people do that for her and just fixating on Kiefer, which I don't even think would be that big of a problem for her down the line. I don't.
Yeah. I have a big problem with a lot of what Austin is doing here as the HOH. You know, she was just on the wrong side of a vote, essentially. She was not the one driving the vote against Julie. Julie was an ally of hers, and she lost that fight. I don't think she put up much of a fight, but she was not in the majority. She may have voted with the majority, but she was not in the majority. So the fact that she feels comfortable continuing to go after the outsiders means that she is aiding and abetting the majority. And the fact that she thinks that she can control the votes here, that she thinks that she can put up Kiefer and Josh and get a majority of votes on Kiefer and not Josh, then I don't know why she feels like she has that much power in the game when, she was just not in control of the previous vote. In addition to that, as the HOH, she is just hanging out with her friends, not really talking to the house so far, staying upstairs in the HOH room alone, which is ill-advised again. Like, this is her opportunity. She is the first real HOH of the season. She has about a day of power. She has about a 24-hour period where she has the ability to nominate people. And she is a sort of weakened HOH in the sense that she can only nominate one of six people or two of six people. But even still, this is the time to be gathering information, to be brokering deals, and inserting herself into some kind of structure. And instead, she is spending all this time hanging out with Brayden and talking about how she doesn't want to talk game tonight. And she just wants to, like, play dumb and let people come to her. And it's not the way to deal with a game where, especially a game where you were not in control of that previous vote. You are on the outs. There is a group out there that is controlling the vote. You're not in it. Do something about it.
Perception is 9/10 of reality in that house. And especially if you're the first HOH, what you want to do is seem like you've got authority. Like, you don't want to cross me. You want to work with me because it'll end badly for you. So if you're coming into this first HOH and you're kind of letting other people call the shots and you're not really, you know, owning your HOH, then down the line, you want an HOH, no one's sweating. They're like, you know what? we'll be fine. It'll be easy to control. We're going to be in a good spot. And like, it's, you don't want to get used to this kind of positioning early, because then it honestly might make you suppress any kind of like power move that you would want to make down the line. I do feel like by giving away, and I think Austin's someone who's capable. I mean, there's a reason why I've drafted her in a bunch of places in the preseason, because I did like what I was seeing. But I do think that if you start off like this, it's going to be hard to get out of this shell. So here's hoping something happens. I'm very, very much not thinking it's gonna. So I'm a little bit nervous, but there's still a lot of game to be played. It's day one of the feeds. Maybe something happens today. I don't know.
Yes. And another, she's like, she's complaining. So Kiefer ends up coming into the HOH room a couple of times to just try to like talk to Austin a little bit. He knows he's going to go up. So he would love to just like get, like maybe get to know her a little better, maybe talk with her, maybe campaign a little bit. Who knows? So he goes in twice. It's very awkward both times. She doesn't really want to engage with him. She's later going to be like, that pissed me off. I was so annoyed that he came in two times. Like, I don't want to hear campaigning. Like, dude, leave me alone. Like, it's the, like, give me a day already. And then in the same breath is like, you know, I just want people to come to me. That's what I want. I want people to have to just come to me. Like what? Like, that you're playing a game. Just play the game.
Yeah, if it's like on a scale of Austin to LaToya, how much are you into playing the game right now is really what I'm seeing. That's the scale for this season. Yeah, it's very fascinating because, again, I feel like, you know, you have the whole week to just chill in this room. But I feel like, again, set the precedent that first night. Talk to the people you need to talk to. If anyone's trying to talk to you, let them in. By making it, putting the onus on the other people to like have to approach you, it's you know, it's let's be real. It's kind of queen activities. I do like that. However, you know, a queen title is not just like, you know, given. You have to earn it. So I think you have to make the moves to become the queen that you want to be. And it's too early to just be doing it like this.
Yes. And it's still so early in the game. And again, you're in a not a great spot considering where that last vote went. So consider your options. Listen to hear people out. Try to figure out some information. What does Kiefer have to tell you? Kiefer does not seem like the coolest cucumber, right? If he comes in and he's nervous that he might get nominated, let him talk. Maybe he'll say something. Maybe he'll expose something. Maybe he'll find out some information. Maybe he'll sink himself. Maybe he'll say something dumb and then you can use that to get him voted out. Either way, hear him out. Talk to him. Like, that's the game. That's how you play as HOH. This is Big Brother 101.
I can tell you this team, Taryn was watching the feeds on his Twitch channel last night and I was in the call with him. He's not loving this HOA treatment. If you didn't know, you know now. He's definitely seeing a lot of holes.
This is the HOA, because here's the thing. When I heard that Austin was HOH, I was like, oh, this is cathartic. Like, we haven't had this in forever because there has not been a person outside of the majority winning HOH in a long time. This is the HOH that we all hoped and prayed for during the entirety of season 22 of Big Brother US. That we were the reason that this season is not working is because that nobody outside of the majority is winning an HOH. If Kacer had won just one HOH, if anybody had won, they came so close. And like, we got it right away. And I'm like, oh, here we go. This is going to be, oh no, she's doing nothing. Okay.
And like, here's the thing. The thought did cross my mind. I'm like, you know, it's the first day. Maybe like she's got to get in game mode. That's still possible. Again, I'm saying it's not impossible. I'm not fully out, but there is a little bit of worry. Because, you know, we literally watched a season. We just came off of one where we were like, oh, maybe next week, maybe next. And then that pendulum never swung back. So obviously there's that bit of concern at the gate because we're like used to that feeling for like, what, 4 months. So it's possible, but let's see. Let's see. I mean, I'm trying to be very, very optimistic, optimistic. But we'll see. The problem also is that I think that she's kind of getting snowed at this point a little bit too. Like, she's definitely sitting and acting like she's very comfortable in the game, But she obviously doesn't know where all the pieces lie. But I do think she's getting into this false sense of security with some of the people that she's surrounding herself with,
yes,
which is a problem.
And we'll definitely talk about that. I think one of the primary reasons she is playing the way she is that she seems to be a parachute for a couple of the people in the majority. And that is making her feel nice and comfy. So that's kind of where we are. She wants Kiefer out. Josh is going to be the person next to Kiefer. She is concerned. She was really hoping LaToya wouldn't win because she has no idea where she stands with LaToya. She feels like she could be in danger with LaToya, and she probably is. But she promised LaToya in the competition she wouldn't put her up, and she couldn't do it anyway. It wouldn't work. It just doesn't make sense.
Here's the thing, right? LaToya very clearly is someone she was concerned about, but she's also, LaToya is someone who plays the game active and has made it very clear that, hi, I'm LaToya. I'm here to play the game. So don't be shocked if I play the game. So no one is now, she's in a position with LaToya, I'm saying, where I don't think anyone's going to fault her for playing the game, for scheming, for talking game, for making deals. And what has LaToya done? Already kind of struck this deal with Austin. That's why LaToya's not even, you can't mention LaToya. You cannot mention LaToya for contention on the block. And that is, you know, damn impressive, because I do think that initially watching LaToya kind of come out like guns blazing right out the gate, I was a little bit concerned. I was like, LaToya, you're doing a little too much. But now it's like, no one's going to fault her for playing the game. Whereas if someone else starts scheming and doing a little bit and they get caught, you're like, hey, no, you can't play the game like that. I don't like that. Stop it. But if LaToya does, like, all right, carry on, LaToya, do what you're doing. Like, it's nuts, but also I get why it's working, and it shouldn't work like this, but it is, because again, the other thing is no one's really going against LaToya right now. So she's doing good for herself being safe when Austin's HV. That should have been one of her worst case scenarios, but alas, here we are.
Yes. Now this is interesting because we know that if Josh and Kiefer go up on the block, if the veto is won by one of them, I don't think that anybody at all would use the veto on either of them at this point. Even Kiefer's alliance has already told him, we're not using the veto on you. So the veto will not be used on them, but if one of them wins the veto, assuming Kiefer even uses it, if one of them wins the veto and uses it, then we would see that that Austin would likely have to choose between LaToya and Rohan as the replacement nominee. Now, we know that she's already concerned about LaToya, but there is obviously a big group of people that would be pushing pretty heavily for Rohan. Now, she doesn't feel comfortable with LaToya, and she likes Rohan. She says both her and Brayden like Rohan. She's just a little bit concerned that he might be in with the guys. She knows LaToya's in with the guys, but she's concerned that Rohan may also be in with the guys. And Brayden sort of backs Rohan up, says, nah, he told me he would never be in an all guys thing. Like, never. That's the last thing he would do. And I believe him. Like, I think he's telling the truth. They both like him. And this is what Rohan had been talking about a little bit earlier, that he had been talking with Brayden about working together. So again, we may see Rohan solidify something here. I think it would be very important for him to do so at this point, considering that he could end up on the block if the veto is used. And I think that if he does, if they solidify something, if they talk a little more, if they kind of lock in some kind of bond at the very least, that would put LaToya back in the hot seat, especially because, the next thing we're going to talk about is that Victoria is going to come in. Victoria is also kind of loosely connected to these two because of their connection to Julie. And Victoria definitely seems primed to want LaToya up on the block. And she's going to kind of throw out that idea a few times.
Yes. So everything you're saying, I do see happening and I do see as a possibility. My only worry becomes we made a deal in the early stages. If you break this deal, you are untrustworthy to everyone else. And the fact that the beneficiary of this deal is LaToya. Like if a deal is broken with LaToya involved, LaToya is not going to be quiet about it and is going to go kicking and screaming into the sunset. So I do think that this is something that Austin's definitely going to be afraid to do. But if all the pieces fall where they fall, if the veto goes the right way, if Rowan successfully talks to her and solidifies something, it could be a possibility. Then it all comes down to, is Austin going to firm the move and do it and then let the chips fall where they may? Or is Austin going to be scared and be like, you'll be a pawn. I promise you, you're not going home. We'll make sure you're not going home. Like that could, that it could also go that way. It just depends on who can convince her to do it. Because LaToya is a good convincing person. Is Victoria going to be a good convincing person? That is the question.
Yes, yes. Just a couple of other things here. Austin says that she feels like she has Brayden. Obviously, she also feels like she has Jed. She is pretty close with Jed. People know that she's pretty close. Brayden was like, so how close are you with Jed? Brayden is not a huge fan of Tara. Doesn't get great vibes from Tara. Tara seems to be somebody who is not very well connected socially, probably somebody that everyone would use as a pawn or an easy target if they could. She's just been immune for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think Tara, in a weird way, by kind of not being involved, is almost in a decent spot because no one's looking at Tara to go up. I think Brayden's kind of the only one that I've heard is having a bit of like not good vibes, but she's kind of plain. She's kind of, you know, just there, which is not necessarily a bad thing because depending on what happens these next couple of weeks, she can find herself a landing spot in an alliance or like a new alliance or a counter alliance and just fit right in. And if she just continues to keep talking to people, she should be fine. But ultimately, I think that it might be a net positive to not have any close ties, because if one side's mad at the other, one side's going after the other, you're no side. You're just in the middle. So for now, it's fine. But you got to start doing something later on to, you know, get yourself some good credit. But we'll see where she goes.
Yeah, I mean, if she doesn't have the social chops to be in with this group, she doesn't fit in with most of these people, then she really needs to start working on forming individual bonds with people that are connected via ways that aren't just the typical kind of like, oh, we're similar, we hang out in groups. She needs to start finding people and she needs to start doing something because otherwise she'll end up just kind of coasting along. And, you know. As I said, Victoria was definitely floating the idea like, hey, why don't we just throw LaToya in there? Brayden and Austin shut her down pretty hard. She couldn't do that. We wouldn't even have the numbers to take her out anyway, so it wouldn't even be worth it. Which again is like, you realize you don't have the numbers to take out an individual in week two and you're just cool with that? You're just like, yeah, that's fine. We'll leave that alone for now. We'll take out the people that they want out for us. Surely if we take out their targets for them, then it'll be easier to take a shot at them later, right?
Listen, that's week four me's problem. I'm not going to do anything about it. But no, this whole mentality of like, if, you know, it's a one for one, if I do something nice for them, they'll do something nice for me is great in theory. Cause like, I would like for someone not to come after me cause I didn't come after them, but you know, who's going to strike first? And especially if you're coming from behind, you got to strike first. I'm sorry. You just have to. Like you said, they didn't, let's be clear. They didn't vote in the majority. They conceded to vote in the majority this last week. Like they had no business doing it. They had, at that point, it's like, do I really want to be part of the votes against the person who ended up leaving? No, let's not do that. So I do think that it makes sense for them to strike, but also I think it's a combination of, I don't think they necessarily see that there's a core group of six, right? I think there's a little bit of everything. There's a little bit of, what's it called? They see the bros. They see the bros together. Maybe they see like there's no like, oh, this is the six. So as long as that's not open and clear, that's a good place for them. That's a good assumption for them to have. But it is sad to stomach. It is sad to see.
Yeah, I do. I feel like I feel like this is perhaps an age problem. Both Austin and Brayden are very young in this cast, and you can see that they are still very much focused on the sort of like like we just want to get along with people, we want to kind of fit in. And that's, they're kind of talking about like abandoning the idea of Julie. And you know, you have a sort of like slightly older crowd. It does make a difference though. Mm-hmm. I think you see this all the time with younger players who show promise, but they're just too young to have like, enough confidence in the game.
Mm-hmm. Can I make a point as well? I feel free to, you know, say that this isn't the case, but I feel like this is a very unique situation as well, because for example, with Big Brother 22 All-Star season, they've all played, they all know what they're doing. This with Big Brother Canada, like we're a year into a pandemic, and I'm assuming, I have to for my sanity, that they were all, you know, socially distancing. So especially for the younger ones who don't really, you know, haven't really been in a position where they've kind of been isolated or kind of been doing things alone, this is like, oh my God, we're partying again. I'm hanging out with my friends. I'm staying up late. I'm eating Cheetos. Like life is great. I can hug people. Amazing. I think that that is a little bit of a factor too, where they're forgetting kind of the reason they're there, or like to play harder, because it's like, listen, this is a vibe. I'm chilling with my friend. I'm gonna go work out with someone later. Isn't that amazing? I'm gonna go sit in the hot tub. Like this is a party and I get to be here. That's amazing. I do think that's a little bit of it as well, going into a little bit of in their heads, because I think the older you are, yes, social distancing is hard, but if you're older, you've probably had to do that where you were alone for a little bit, you know, more likely longer than any of these the youngins. So that's kind of something as well to think about moving forward here.
Something to think about. all right. So Austin is then going to talk. She's going to have a couple of late night conversations that's going to give us a little bit of insight into where she thinks she stands at the very least in the house. She talks with Beth and they seem to be working together. So Beth is interesting for me. Beth seems to be, she's in this bigger group, it seems. But some of the people in the bigger group don't fully trust her, and that's because she seems to be a little bit all over the place. Maybe a little bit of like a Sue from last season, a little bit where like she's kind of in with a group, but she's also just kind of very good with a lot of people. And one of those people is Austin. They talk about how they are working together and that people don't really see it. Austin lets her know, fills her in on the plan. She says, I want Kiefer out. I don't think he likes me. She was annoyed about him being in her room. She is concerned for Brayden. She feels like Brayden might not be okay with the guys. She wants to make sure that Brayden is okay. And again, it's just like the entire mentality and the way that, that Austin is operating is entirely fear-based in my mind, where, you know, she knows that there is a big structure somewhere and she just wants herself and her friends to be okay for right now. And so she's like, can we make sure that the guys aren't going after Brayden because of his attachment to Julie? Like, that's not like, you know, we don't want to do it. And Beth's like, oh, it's fine. It was just Julie. They weren't mad at Brayden. Don't worry. Like this is warning signs everywhere.
Yeah, they couldn't be clear. They couldn't be more clear. I appreciate that Austin is the type of, you know, alliance member who's going to look out for her own, type of friend that's going to look out for her own. I do like that. However, I the fear-based part, I don't like. Beth is very intriguing to me in that I do think Beth is kind of treating the house like a bit of a sample platter. Like, oh, I'll hear all the sides. I'll like try and talk to as many sides as possible. I don't think she's fully, yes, she's most likely in this Sunsetters alliance, but I do think that Beth is someone who isn't afraid to talk to the others and kind of solidify other stuff. This is, given the fact that we know Beth is someone who's watched the show prior, I do like this from her. The key is don't get caught. And given that already LaToya and Tina are a little bit like not vibing with her, I would be scared if I'm Beth. But also, for now, it's the second week. She's clearly not going to go on the block. She can use this time to further herself. So get more conversations in, Beth, and maybe you're in a good spot. But you know, I gotta respect the game. I respect trying to, you know, get as many people in as possible.
Mm-hmm. So they talk about how they do feel like the guys will get them far in the game, which is a phrase you never want to hear in Big Brother. and they recognize that they've got other stuff going on. We understand that. We're gonna have to watch out for that, but they're gonna take us far in the game. That was, you know, a concerning conversation on Austin's end at the very least. Austin is also going to talk with Jed, and he is going to ask her what she thinks she's going to do. And she says, I don't know. Not sure yet. Doesn't give him anything. He's like, well, what about Kiefer and Josh? Because he knows at this point that she's thinking about Kiefer and Josh. And she's like, oh, yeah, maybe that's good. I don't know.
Yeah, their relationship is, and I think there's something there. I think that, well, first of all, I think that 100% Austin is Jed's parachute in that alliance. I think that this is something that Jed has worked on. It's very clear that in this moment, she doesn't really want to say anything, but I do think that they've got an interesting link going on at this moment. Interesting enough, because I think it was very clear that Brayden also recognized this, and Brayden has been trying to like subtly be like, so should I go talk to Jed and try and do something with him? Should I like try and link up with him? Because I think Brayden realizes that, hey, if you're in this party, I want to be your plus one. Like, there's no way you're having a party without me. So I do like that. I don't understand what the motive here is to not talk to Jed, honestly. Do you think that she's not fully let Jed in? Or do you think it was just like, oh, I don't want to talk about game tonight. Like, this is my day. I'm just going to chill. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, this came not too long after the conversation with Beth. Where she was like deep into game. Like, she clearly trusts Beth a lot more than Jed for the time being. She also talked with Beth about some of the guys like Ty and Kyle, and that Kyle's been flirting with her. And she did mention to Brayden that she loves Kyle and that she felt good about Kyle, but lately he hasn't talked to her as much. And now she's a little bit like weirded out, and she asks Beth, like, hey, has Kyle been flirting with you? And Beth was like, nah. So, you know, I think, you know, there could be something going on with Kyle. There could be something going on with Ty. There could be something going on with Jed. It's a little bit unclear at this point, but Jed is clearly, I think, trying to be a little flirtatious with Austin. And, you know, Austin is the person who in her preseason stuff said, I've never had a boyfriend. So, you know, I think that she is like, a little bit hesitant to be a very flirtatious back. So it's still unclear what's going to happen with all of that stuff, but she still is definitely, with Jed to some degree. She trusts him to some degree, or she feels like she has him at the very least. The main thing, though, is that Beth actually seems to be her primary contact in the bigger crew, and she doesn't really seem to know that Beth is involved in that bigger crew. Yes, it is. It's definitely I think she feels like she has Jed, but he's involved with so many things that she's a little bit cautious. That's my sort of read on it right now.
Okay. It's funny because I completely forgot about Beth being involved in that alliance. So it sounds to me like they're both fighting for the same parachute at this point in Austin of like who's going to. And I think Beth has her, but I don't think Jed knows that. So that'll be very interesting to keep an eye out for sure.
Well, it's also like Beth has her right now. But what we've seen in the past in Big Brother is that, you know, potential flirty stuff can start rocky, can start like we're not sure if we can trust each other, but then can quickly overcome previous bonds if something happens. So I would not be surprised if Jed ends up winning this, you know, sort of supposed battle for the allegiance of Austin in the end, if anything ever comes from, you know, the whatever's happening there.
Yeah. And I do think on the conversation of Austin never having had a boyfriend, I know that the chat was kind of talking about like, whoa, I forgot about that. Yeah. The thing I believe, if I remember correctly, Austin's got a strict dad, right? Who didn't want her to be in relationships. Or, I mean, coming from a background, my dad was the very same with both me and my sister. So we also did not have any relationships at the time. And I do think, obviously, like, are you going to really break that suit on feeds when your parents hypothetically could be watching? No. So I think that the flirtation could work. She could let him in, or anybody else in for that matter. But then I think that it's going to be like a bit of a, I don't know if I'm going to do this. I don't know if I'm going to, like, I don't want it to be on camera. I don't want it to be on feeds. So I do think that that's going to be something that we'll see play out here. And probably maybe even get feed cuts as a result, but we'll see. We'll see.
So that was mostly the night. There wasn't too much else, unless there was something else you thought was worth bringing up here, Pooja.
From the night? No. No, not from last night specifically.
Yes. There was some stuff this morning. What did you have from this morning, Puya?
So from this morning, maybe 20 minutes before we went live, LaToya was sitting with Kiefer and point blank told him he's going up and told him to remain calm. And Kiefer was spiraling very much so. It was very funny because LaToya's like, don't be nervous. Don't panic. We'll be fine. We'll take care of it. We have the votes, all of that. And you just see Kiefer sitting there quiet and she's like, you're panicking. It's like, yeah, it's like going first on the block is not good. So Kiefer definitely has been worried. I have noticed that Austin was talking with Josh quite a bit this morning, getting ready, which is a good thing for Josh, I think, and Austin to form something. Whereas Kiefer's kind of been hanging out with Kyle and Ro and not really engaging with Austin, who I think he really should. But that was the thing I noticed. And then let me see here real quick on my notes. Kiefer wanted to, before this conversation with LaToya, Kiefer said that he was gonna pitch Josh to Austin when he went to talk to her, and he was also gonna say, I know it's probably gonna be between me and Ro. And Ro stopped him and was like, yo, do not say my name. Ro said, don't bring my name up at all. I don't want her to think there's a shortlist, and I won't bring your name up, which I thought was really smart from Ro to really immediately respond that way, because initially I got worried. I'm like, this comes a little bit nervous from Ro, but I think with someone like Kiefer, making sure that his name doesn't come up is very smart. So, and I think he convinced Kiefer of such. So we'll see now that Kiefer knows he's going up. Is he going to throw Ro's name out? I don't know, but it's making for an interesting day on feeds. Let me tell you that.
Yes. So, you know, it seems like things have been pretty quiet since we went live. But yes, there was definitely a little bit of talk there. I'm expecting that we'll have some kind of situation competition happening, and then nominations will be sometime later tonight. I'm hoping that at some point Austin starts actually talking to people and getting some information, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. Honestly, this is looking like it will be a pretty straightforward week unless the veto plays out in a way that takes down one of Kiefer or Josh, or something changes. Now, early weeks definitely are a lot more fluid in terms of things are a lot more likely to change. You know, any small thing could push Austin over the edge and maybe have her putting up either LaToya or Rohan, and that would definitely make things a little bit more interesting in terms of this week. But in terms of the start of the season, this we definitely have sort of locked down for all right, let's, you know, this week is going to be probably Josh, and Austin is probably going to be wanting it to be Kiefer, but here's how this week plays out in the world of Dominant Alliance Big Brother. Austin has been convinced that it's in her best interest to put up Kiefer and Josh. She wants Kiefer gone. The Big Alliance tells Kiefer, hey, just play nice with her. He tries. It doesn't work. But then the rest of the group talks to her and they convince her, look, it's really actually, did you know all of the bad things that Josh has done? Actually, it's actually really much, it's better for Josh to go here. And she goes, oh, I guess so. Yeah. Okay. And then Josh goes and she's like, okay, well, I didn't really get on my target, but it's okay, 'cause people still like me. And then, we head into next week and, that's things continue.
Yes, it'll be very interesting. And for anyone who's new to the BB Can scene, yes, there's going to be a lot of feeds cut throughout the season. The feeds are free. Therefore, they're paid for by the sponsors, and a lot of things will get cut. A lot of things will be happening that they just don't want you to see. Today, there might be a bunch of feed cuts because, you know, we've got the Wendy's reward where the HOH gets to take someone to Wendy's. The have not thing could be happening. Noms are going to be happening. So be ready to kind of like get some off time to make stuff or get a snack or something. But it'll be a fun ride regardless. I'm very happy. I'm very excited that people are excited, and I'm very excited myself. So I'm here for all of that. I'm here for all of that. So I see someone in the chat mentioned, Taryn, that Austin did allude that she would take Rohan to Wendy's. I don't have anything to confirm this, but
I believe I heard this as well.
Okay, and what do you think of that choice for her to take Ro? I think this is the time for Ro to strike if I've ever seen one,
for sure. So I mean, I think that is the direction that she needs to go for sure, because Rohan and Kyle, again, assuming this is not like a fully formed, you know, bro alliance, Rohan and Kyle are kind of like here's the thing. Even if it is a fully formed bro alliance, right? You've got Ty and Jed with LaToya, Tina, Kiefer, Beth, like this big group. They've got a lot of people already. Rohan and Kyle, even if they are, even if Jed and Ty would choose them over that other bigger group, they still have fewer people on their side. They're looking for numbers to sort of bolster their side. Getting in with them would be good for the short term at the very least. And if they aren't fully locked in with Ty and Jed, then they are probably the only hope of sort of like breaking up this bigger group, and having them on your side is good short term and long term. So I think that this would be a very good thing for all parties involved if Rohan and Austin were able to really connect here.
Yeah, I think they link up. They've got five. That's good. Ty and Jed have six there, so that's good for them. And then these four in the middle will kind of probably end up teaming up at some point. So this is a win-win-win-win for Ro and Kyle if Ro's able to solidify this.
And assuming that neither of them rat each other out, which is very likely to happen.
Exactly. So no snitching. They'll be fine. Yeah, I mean, this is, let's be real. For me personally, this is the my favorite cast in a long time. I kind of don't have anyone that I'm like, get out. You know, like I don't have that at the moment. So I'm every camera I see on the feeds, I'm keen on. I'm really impressed with Tina. I'm excited to see more Tina. Tina is clearly doing so well for herself, and I'm so happy. And the Big Brother live feed season is here, team, and there's not a better time in the world than this.
And I want to say as well, I'm very critical of the setup here, the twist, the team twist, the having half the team, half the house immune. I think that they are creating the very situation that they should be trying to prevent. That said, I really do think that the smaller cast is going to do a lot of legwork for us, because even if there is a big group of people, it is not an 8-person group, right? It is a 6-person group. And we won't have like 5 weeks or more of get out all of the outsiders first. Wait. We'll probably have like 3 weeks, right? Like things will happen a bit faster. The smaller cast will give every individual cast member a little bit more agency to rebel against a group if it does get exposed. I am a lot more optimistic about the future of this season than I would be otherwise because of the smaller cast. And I do think that there are a few good gamers in here that will be playing hard. And I'm definitely interested to see where this goes. I think there is a lot of potential here, but you just never know.
Yeah, I mean, if it weren't for you analyzing everything and debugging things, would you really be called the robot? So it's very on brand. You're the one that's going to have to sit here for every single day. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you think more and more. And obviously, anytime you are upset at a twist, it's good content for the rest of us. I'm very keen to see. Hopefully it doesn't last too long. Of course, personally, the team thing, I'm not about. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
Yes, we will. All right. That's what we have for you today. I will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. And then on Monday, we will be back to recap the episode that we get there, the nominations, everything that will happen today. And then Tuesday will be the first roundtable of the season. We will get the stock watch started up. Plenty of stuff to look forward to there. I will be, I believe, talking to Julie in just a little bit here. I'm not exactly sure where that interview will land, but I'll be sure to let you know on Twitter at Armstrong Taren when I figure that out. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. I will be streaming later tonight to watch some feeds with you guys again. Maybe play some Fall Guys if the feeds are down. Who knows? But we're going to be doing that. And then later this weekend, I'll be playing some Among Us with Puya and the crew. The real Kyle Moore will be joining us. That's Melissa right. Denny will be joining us, I believe.
Yep. Yeah. We got an amazing cast of people. Your favorites will all be back. I'm very keen. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to get the real Kyle Moore, the main. So it's going to be exciting stuff. That'll be Sunday, 5 Eastern, over on Twitch. And for myself, I will be also Twitch streaming tonight about 11 p.m. for the pad, the late night stream where I take people's questions, give them advice, hang out, play marbles, and just, you know, critically analyze Enzo's rap. You know, just the usual fare, just the regular stuff. But yeah, it's a fun time.
I heard you're a donkey.
Oh, no, you you heard the mock rap. Yeah, that happened. That happened. I won't give anything else away.
All right. Well, that's what we have for today. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And see you next time.